Good morning.
Good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Craig Lane. I am the attorney for the appellate in this matter, Terry Logan. This matter comes on before the court upon the appeal of Terry Logan from two final decisions of the Nebraska District Court in Dakota County regarding two competing contempt actions. Those contempt actions were filed by the respective parties regarding the enforcement of their dissolution of marriage decree that was entered in Dakota County on October 24, 2013. That decree provided in pertinent part that Lori Logan, the opposing party, was awarded the family home located at 305 Broadmoor in South Sioux City as her sole and separate property. But then it continued on to say, and specifically the plaintiff, that's Lori Logan, shall assume and pay any and all notes, mortgages, and indebtedness against that same property. Those mortgages and obligations were listed in the in an attachment to the decree. And there were three of them. The first was $3,353 to Citibank. Then their two children each had this mortgage that was attributed to this real estate for their son Travis for $68,575, and a second child, Josh Logan, for $58,043. So the total of those mortgages is $129,971. The court determined that the house is worth $185,000. During the hearings on the contempt action, Lori Logan acknowledged that she had paid no portions of either the second or third mortgages as directed by the decree of dissolution. Terry testified that he had paid the first mortgage after the date of the final hearing, but before the decree came out on that. Lori never paid this amount back to Terry, so she had not made any payments on any of these mortgages. Terry further testified that by her not paying any of these mortgages, that it that these mortgages on the decree significantly diminished the value of that real estate. And in reality, she was not paying any of those, so she basically got a $185,000 asset, which was not divided in any way by the court. Is this court, I'm sure, is probably. On paper, but she testified that she's not paying any of them.
So do you think it's encumbered or not?
I don't think it is.
Why do you think it's not encumbered?
No, they haven't. But she's not.
Family home?
Yes.
Is this security of a second parent?
Yes.
So it's not family home?
The reason I'm saying, and I'm a little hesitant because we appealed that issue, it's unsuccessful, but it is on paper, but in reality, I believe both of them testified, both at their trial and on the contempt action, that those two children were always making payments. Mom, the appellee, never paid any of those payments, and there was no testimony that it was
anything. Some testimony that the former husband encouraged the boys not to make those payments?
There was testimony by Lori, but Terry definitely resisted.
What did the trial court say about that?
I don't recall specifically what they, if there was a specific finding like that off of the top of my head. But
is the decree in this record?
Yeah, I believe it is. But at any rate, the reason, like I said, we did appeal that unsuccessfully. So in essence, what we're asking this court at this point is if we're not going to be successful on that appeal and have this property divided, then at the very least, we're asking this court to force the appellee to actually pay those mortgages. I do not have a cross appeal.
You appeal the order of contempt?
Yes.
Yes.
Which, because the others were not as worried with the other.
Well, I will agree that that is part of the issue. I believe.
You said you were thinking of more of a container.
I believe part of what you're saying on this is that there is clear error and abuse of discretion, and I believe that's the standard of review. And some of the things I'm saying here are my attempt to explain them. Thus far, he has been able to pay the $1,500 a month. And in essence, the way he's done it is just by using his credit cards. And we're afraid that's eventually going to end in disaster. Most likely what's going to happen is he's going to have to do that until he maxes those credit cards out.
Let me back up here. Comments about the division of property in the subject of insurance appeal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's not the propriety of the division of the property. It's not before us.
That's true.
That's correct. What is before us is that we're trying to dominate the town. That's correct. And you disagree with that ruling, right?
Correct.
And you disagree with the trial court's other ruling that the ex-wife was not in contempt.
Correct.
What about the trial court's ruling finding the client in contempt do you believe was in error?
I believe, first of all, to find him in contempt, he has to be found to be in willful contempt, willfully not following the terms of the decree. I believe that his testimony was on several of the items, that, for example, the Ameriprise account, that he had used that, he had used it for his child, Joshua, who he and his wife, Joshua was unemployed for about 9 months, and he was trying to help his family.
And that is an account by which he was forced to pay that those funds to the ex-wife.
Correct.
But he did not do that, is that correct?
That is correct.
He instead take that money from one of the children, is that correct?
He did.
Yeah. Now, once the trial court order someone to pay that money, the money's belonging to theirs, he was in choosing.
I do agree with that, but what I'm arguing is that it was not willfully and contumaciously done, because he made the wrong decision by giving it to his son, but it wasn't done with any evil intent. He was simply trying to respond to what he perceived as an emergency. We are also, and I'm jumping a little bit because I'm starting to run out of time. Thank you. We're asking the court to set aside the contempt action concerning my client. We're arguing that it was not willful. I'm also arguing that if the court doesn't set that aside, to at least take a look, review, and reduce or eliminate the $1,500 a month purge payment. It's simply, he's unable to do it.
Did you assign an error that the amount of the payment is not
I included that in my issue number two. That is part of what I'm arguing when he was found in contempt. And I'm also asking this court to consider ordering her to pay some amount of attorney fees to my client for this appeal. This has been an upside-down case for him from the very beginning, when Lori received an asset of $185,000, which in reality is not encumbered at all. And so that is the shipwreck that was created for him. They were to banks, but everybody knew she wasn't going to make those payments, and she hasn't made it.
Do you have a motion on file seeking attorney's fees for the efforts of this court?
I listed as my issue number 30, as I was asking the court to award my client attorney fees.
In the brief, not a motion, is that correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Yes. The court refused to set it aside. We did file a motion. As I recall, we filed a motion concerning that. So far, I think Judge Vaughn did basically say this. Out of time. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lewin?
Lewin.
Lewin. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Michelle Lewin and I represent the appellee in this case, Lori Logan. This case involves a long history of litigation that has stemmed over the last 4 years. The dissolution action was originally filed in August of 2012. Trial was held in July of 2013, but the decree was not entered in this case until October 24th of 2013. Mr. Logan appealed the original decision, which was upheld by the Court of Appeals in January of 2015. It was after that appellate ruling that Mr. Logan continued to refuse to comply with the terms of the original decree of dissolution, which required Loring to file her application for contempt in May of 2015. Mr. Logan filed a cross-application for contempt, and those applications were heard before the district court May 28th of 2015. The judge ruled from the bench, and that ruling was memorialized in two separate orders in her June 1st and June 15th of 2015.
Is there any argument on appeal with respect to the order that was directing the parties to go to the storage unit and exchange your documents?
My understanding is that both orders are appeal. I don't see in the brief anywhere, Your Honor, that there was any issue with the exchange. At issue, and the points that have been identified as appealed points of error is whether or not Mr. Logan has been or should have been held in contempt of court, whether Lori should have been held in contempt of court, and whether Mr. Logan should be required to pay attorney fees as a result of Lori having to prosecute. Technically, it's listed in the brief that it should be reconsidered. I gladly let that point of error go. Lori has not filed a prosecution.
Was there a finding that the jury had to pay this amount of money?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes. The district court has had five separate times to hear Mr. Logan testify. And as a result of those five separate hearings and the five separate testimonies, the court has established that Mr. Logan has very little credibility in his testimony. What Mr. Logan did testify to is that he, for 30 years prior, ran a tax business that started in the party's home and ultimately ended in a storefront in South Sioux City. That tax business is part of the first hearing and the first trial in the dissolution action. After that, and after the appeal, Mr. Logan testified that he sold that business to his son Joshua for $1, and that he was now living on Social Security benefits of $1,665 a month. Because of that action, he said he couldn't afford to be able to pay the $1,500 a month. I believe the district court actually used the word ploy, that Mr. Logan entered into a ploy with his son Joshua to try to transfer that business from Mr. Logan to Joshua with the intent to reduce his income, and therefore his ability to be able to pay the judgment owed. Mr. Logan also testified in several instances. He admitted that he had engaged in a violation of the court order. The most probably egregious was the Ameriprise IRA. The IRA was awarded to Lori in the sum of $11,354, I believe. And that was in October of 2013 that it was originally awarded. I understand that that decree wasn't affirmed by the Court of Appeals until January of 2015. But it was somewhere very shortly after the decree was entered that that Ameriprise IRA was liquidated and given to the party's son. It was after Mr. Logan knew that the IRA had been awarded to Lori, yet he liquidated it. And Lori didn't know that the IRA was liquidated until the contempt hearing in May of 2015. So it wasn't until that day that it was even realized that that particular piece of the decree couldn't even be enforced. The amount total is in the brief. It was the original judgment was 11,000 and some. The contempt judgment was 12,865, I believe. So the total judgment that was entered against Mr. Logan at the time of the contempt was $24,000 and some change that I don't have in front of me, Your Honor. And the court ordered that to be paid at the sum of $1,800. What the court tried to do.
That the ex-wife should pay the ex-husband some money, and that the ex-husband should pay the wife some money, and use the amount the ex-wife that they set off.
Correct. That's exactly what happened. Correct. There were two judgments, or two debts that were ordered to be paid by Lori in the original decree of dissolution. And again, Mr. Lane pointed out there was a delay between July, the trial, and October 24th when
the trial judge said there was a payment on the ex-wife's part, but not on the
Correct. With regards to the Nelnet loan, which is a student loan, that there was a failure on her regard in not paying it, but that she was not willful and conscientious in that payment. With regards to the Chase mortgage, it simply was gone by the time the decree was entered. So to the extent there was any repayment that needed to be made, he considered that as well. Because the court had offset the marital residence to Ms. Logan by that $3,353 that was originally owed on her first mortgage at the time of trial, that ultimately was gone in October because Mr. Logan had exclusive possession of the residence and he was paying $899 a month towards that first mortgage. There has been a lot of discussion about the second and third mortgage. That was all dealt with the Court of Appeals. It was not further petitioned for review by this court. There's no question that those two loans are liens on the real estate, and whether there would be an agreement with Lori, between Lori and the two children as to how those monthly payments are made really is of no consequence for purposes of willful and contumacious violations. She would have a duty to defend and hold Mr. Logan harmless in the event one of the children stopped paying and they had to force a foreclosure or sale of one of those properties. She would have to do that. There's no requirement that she has to pay those monthly mortgage payments. She does have to defend him and hold him harmless. And there was no evidence presented to the district court that there was any damage to Mr. Logan's credit or damage to him as a result of the children paying the mortgages. What the district court tried to do at the end of the contempt in determining what Mr. Logan owed to Lori was exactly what the judge justice pointed out. There were two debts that the court determined that Lori owed to Mr. Logan, but she was not in contempt of court for not paying those. The court then credited Mr. Logan with those two amounts, and that's where that $12,865 net judgment came to. With regards to this entire contempt, it comes down to the credibility of Mr. Logan and the fact that Judge Vaughn has had the opportunity to hear him testify in front of him several times and determined his testimony and ability to pay and whether or not he was willful and contumacious simply was not truthful. There was no evidence to support it as well. Ms. Logan would ask that this Supreme Court affirm the district court in all regards. First, with regards to the finding of contempt, that Mr. Logan is in contempt of court. She would also ask that this court uphold the purge plan that the district court has put into place of $1,500 a month. If that purge plan was not there, there is no way that Mr. Logan would be paying any of the judgment to Lori. It's been obvious over the last 3 years he's not paid a dime. And again, to the extent it's necessary to affirm the district court ruling that, that Lori was not in contempt of court, and also to affirm the award of attorney fees for having to both prosecute her contempt and defend the contempt, the court did order that that Mr. Logan pay $3,084 in attorney fees. And that, again, is part of that lump sum $24,000 judgment that's being purged with the plan of $1,500 a month.
Counsel, this was a coercive contempt order. Civil contempt.
Yes. No, it was a civil contempt order.
And consequently, the person who's being held in contempt has to have the ability to comply.
Yes.
Agree with that.
I do. Yes, sir. Yes.
What did we do with the court's response to Mr. Terry's question? Asked when we're going to come up with the money, and the court says, I don't know where you are, sir, but you're demonstrating very creative. Doesn't that suggest that the court is not making the finding that he has the ability to say?
The court, in that particular piece of exchange, that the court was making its ruling, Mr. Logan started to argue with Judge Vaughn, and that was his, you know, somewhat snide response. I recall the financial creativity. And the reference to that came from the fact that he had sold his business for a dollar. There was some evidence that was presented as well, just a couple of months, a couple of months prior to that, that Mr. Logan was in the local newspaper showing how successful his business was.
Did the judge make an express finding that the contender had the ability?
I believe it's in the decree, or in the order of June 15th. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
He is over.
There's no time for rebuttal. And we'll go on to the next case of the day, which is Stevens and Cowboy versus David and Cow. Apologies for no doubt not pronouncing on this one correctly. Mr. Ruby?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Your Honors, may I please report? My name is Doug Ruby.